comes up. Lord bless,
thank
man.
You. Thank you.
Got it.
Before I get started, can we get started with that first video, and I'll be right back, okay?
I lost my home, lost my job, and ended up on the streets.
I found it a suitable place for me to hang myself.
We found our son had taken his own life on our property.
Just as the distribution was ending, someone placed a testament in my outstretched hand.
That one testament had a great impact on our lives and our family.
This is an opportunity for me to have a new testament.
As I began to read the book of Revelations, I could see how much God loved me.
It was like for the first time in my life that I really felt acceptance.
I'm fixing up this drug and I see the Gideon's Bible over there. But there was a force compelling me to pick this up. You know, he says he'd take away all the weights and burdens that you have. They were gone.
It has given me hope for daily living in the worst circumstances of my life.
Then I knew that there was someone who loved me.
All I said was, yes, Lord. And it was like I was born again right there.
Okay, my heartbeat is beating just as rapidly as that young man's. Are we ready for the start of the second video or the second PowerPoint? Good morning. My name is Juan Pena. And again, my testimony is not as exciting as that individual on the screen, but I was born in a mud hut. That is a typical home that I was raised in. Of course, mine is since but my mother had 13 children. Two of those siblings died before I was born. I don't know why they died, but maybe poor sanitary conditions or lack of health care, but I have 10 living brothers and sisters. I have four older sisters, one older brother, four younger sisters, one younger brother. My older brother's name is Caesar. My younger brother's name is Mark Anthony. I tell them both that I'm really caught in the middle, but I tell them that I beat them both because my middle name is Jesus. I came to America when I was 5 years old. Moved to Wapping. Oops, I'm supposed to press this, aren't I? There we go. Came to America when I was 5 years old. I moved to Wapping 2 miles across the border from northern Mexico to southern Texas. Not much of a move, but our relatives thought we were rich. It's just amazing what perception is. You can see a picture of Mexico on the south side of that picture. That's green. But on the north side, that's the United States. That's Texas. I moved from a mud hut with chickens sleeping in the rafters to a three-room shack with a dump heap as my playground. Again, perception is reality, right? During the harvest seasons, we would go north. We would migrate north to California, Ohio, Oregon, Washington, and Michigan. Nothing like seeing the USA in a Chevrolet. Who remembers that old saying? We would travel day and night, 24 hours a day, until we got to our destinations. Not because we wanted to get there fast, but we couldn't afford to do anything but stop and get gas. We would be taken out of school in April and re-enrolled in late October. So I was always the odd man out. No sports, no band, no advanced classes, no friends. It was in my 16th year that my life took a dramatic turn. I was never in real trouble. I was a bit of a loner. I loved to read, and being a middle child, I tended to get lost easily. During my junior year in high school, I started leaving the open campus that I was attending and running as quickly as I could to a halfway house. The church-sponsored halfway house had billiard pool table, table tennis, and other board games. So you guessed it, the first come, first serve. After a while, I was getting pretty good at playing ping pong, and I could play all the time. So I started doing something else. Then I started watching the associate pastor that was running the place as he interacted with the students, and he treated them with dignity and respect. He would listen to the students and offer advice. I did this for over 4 months, and I finally asked him why he did what he did. I was no saint. Like I said earlier, I had a few friends and tried to fit in. I tried smoking and drinking, but I never really liked the feeling of losing control. One time I threw a party at my house when my parents were gone, and I'd had two beers, and after two beers I went to the bathroom and dumped the rest of it into the sink, filled it with water just so that I could pretend I was drinking. I was trying to fit in, but it just wasn't me. So when the pastor offered me a Bible, I took it and started reading it. I read it all night long. I don't know if it was a Gideon Bible or not. I don't think it was, but it doesn't really matter. The principle is the same, isn't it? And Isaiah 55:11 says, "You give the word of God out and let it do what it's supposed to do." It was a few days later that I gave my heart to Jesus. I can't explain it. It was just the right thing to do. No big bells and whistles, no flashing signs that you've arrived. I can just tell you that my life was different after that. Not in a big way, just some definite changes. I come from a huge Catholic family where the big macho man makes all the rules and has a beer in his hand all the time. You know, being drunk was a way of life for my brothers and six of my eight brothers-in-law. I made a choice not to drink, to be an example that you could have fun and be a family man without humiliating your wife. But that's later in life. I was still about to grow up. The summer of my 16th birthday, we came north again, this time to Michigan. Like usual, we were in a very tight budget. We drove all day and all night to arrive at our farmer's home in Berrien Springs, Michigan. You guys know where that is, right? By now, we were staying in Texas until the school year was over so that we would not disrupt the school kids as much. We were still early in the season, but my dad wanted to get there early. We got in contact with the farmer, and he was furious for us getting there so early. It did not help that it was his daughter's high school graduation. He took us to a four-room shack we were to have for that season. Then he threw us a curveball. He says, "Don't move into the other two rooms. That's for the other family." Mind you, there was 12 of us. My older brother, having been drafted by Uncle Sam, was living somewhere else. But we started cleaning out the cobwebs and sweeping the floor, mopping and cleaning out the winter buildup. And the farmer came back storming back, and he says, "Don't you be rotting out my wood floors by getting them wet?" One of my sisters finally had enough. And she said, "We're not going to live like pigs. We're going to clean the place." So, well, then you can get out of here. I told you I had to grow up quick. We had to get back in the truck. My dad started driving around. He did not know what to do. In Spanish culture, if the father is not around, the oldest son's in charge. Doesn't matter if he's got much more mature sisters or smarter sisters than he, but he's in charge. We drove to a fruit stand, bought a watermelon, and we're feeding the younger kids. $20 left in our pocket. 1,200 miles from home. Nowhere to go and nowhere to stay. Life happens. What are you going to do? I had a choice. I could continue being a teenager or grow up and be a man. I spoke with some farmers at the fruit stand. I was fortunate enough to find someone who was looking for workers. He told us to follow him to his farm. That summer, I slept in the back of the pickup truck because there was no room for me in the two-room converted garage. I had a choice, ladies and gentlemen, much like you have a choice. I believe I was able to help in that situation because God had been preparing my heart. That summer, I was asked to be a translator for some college students who were volunteering to help migrant farm workers. I went with them to different camps, talked to the families, helped them get food stamps, sometimes medical care, sometimes get them out of trouble. It was a summer that got me a scholarship to attend Western Michigan University once I graduated from high school. There are other stories, like the time I was driving my mom and all my younger siblings from Washington State all the way down to South Texas, which is 2,400 miles, all by myself at 16. Got a flat tire on my dad's truck, driving 70 miles an hour on an Idaho freeway. I did what I had to do, because it was the right thing and responsible thing to do. No, my testimony is not the most exciting, but it doesn't have to be. Because we are mostly normal people, and normal people have normal lives. Our experience with Jesus is what makes it abnormal, in a good way. The life we can live in Jesus is more exciting and filled with more excitement than the supposed life that you can live in this world. Even if you think that you're not making a change in anyone's life, you don't know what you don't know. It was 40 years later that I've had several of my brothers-in-law and both of my brothers, during a sober moment, tell me that they've appreciated the model that I've lived, or the way I've lived my life and for my children. You are being observed from near and far. You have influenced many for the good and the bad. I pray that Jesus will help you in the future be the good example for others. As a Christian, it is our good and reasonable service, don't you think? My mother died in her late 50s. She never went to school, but she taught herself how to write her name. And later she taught herself to read. She never went to school, but I learned more from her than I did in college. My father was driving. It was his birthday, March 13th. They were on their way to Mexico, to their hometown of Mexico called Rio Bravo. Mom asked my dad to stop at a crossing to get some children that were begging some loose change. There was a policeman at the crossing, and if they had not stopped, he'd have probably stopped them. They were going to celebrate the completion of their new home in Texas. My mom had told my dad she didn't think she would ever sleep in the new home. Premonition? I don't know. But when they left that crossing, the truck stalled on the railroad tracks, and a train broadsided them. She died in the ambulance as they reached the United States. When I learned about it shortly afterwards, I was in shock. I could not believe it. I murmured to my wife what happened, and then I left the house and went to Maple Hill Mall and just walked. I was among hundreds of people, but alone. I was hurting so bad I could not express my emotions. When I came home, the pastor and his associate pastor were at our house. It wasn't long before the floodgates opened up, and I cried, not for myself, but because I did not know whether my mom was saved. How many wasted opportunities had I passed up and not shared with her about Jesus? It was not until years later that I learned that my mom had been listening to a Spanish Christian radio program and perhaps had made her decision for Christ. That is why my work with the Gideons is such a wonderful opportunity. It is not in my personal life or actions or my words that are important. If I can get the word of God into someone's hands, then it's God that will do the work. I can't add or subtract from what the Bible says. by handing out a Bible without any other agenda, I let go and let God. Can we have that start of the second slide? See, we're a body of believers dedicated to making the Word of God available to everyone, and together with the local church, reaching souls for Christ. We serve as an extension of the missionary arm of the local church, and we go everywhere. By supporting us, your church has a part in the missionary field, placing Bibles where I dare say many of us will ever go. Places like Africa, where a young boy who had received a Bible was told by his father that he could not attend that evening special missionary message. He was so insistent that he tied him to a tree. That young man was so upset because he knew how important it was for him to be there that he worked and worked at the ropes, rubbing his back raw on the tree until he was able to work his way free. When he finally did and went to the meeting, he was chastised by some for being late. But one look at his back silenced them. Places like Slovakia, where a young man who had recently received Christ was riding on a train. He was busy reading his Bible and did not notice the three soldiers approaching, looking for a place to sit. When they joined him on the bench, one of them started harassing him about what he was reading. When he told them, he said, "Ah, our religion is not good enough for you." And he took the Bible and he slung it out the window of the train. Years later, that young man, now a pastor, was speaking at an underground church. He was stopped at the back door by an old man as he was leaving. The old man said to him, "Are you by any chance so-and-so?" He said, "Well, yes, I am." He said, "I have something that belongs to you." And he reached in his coat pocket and pulled out a Gideon Bible. And he said, "Well, how? Where?" He said, "Well, I was working on my fields by the railroad tracks, and all of a sudden this Bible plopped on my cart." Pastor said, thank you. He said, "No, thank you." He said, "It was because of this Bible and reading it that I was able to become a believer." Places like Russia, where a young man on a date with his wife, fiance, bought her a bundle of flowers from a street peddler. Later on that evening, when he got home, his fiance called him and said, "Thank you." He said, "For what? All I did was give you a few flowers." He said, "You don't understand, my love. It was not the flowers, but the beautiful words of encouragement." Confused, he went back to the peddler and found out that she'd been wrapping the Bible, the flowers, in some paper she was tearing out of a book. Yes, a Bible that someone had thrown away. You see, folks, God's word says in Isaiah 55:11, "So my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please, and I will prosper what I send it to you." We are just the messengers, much like you, going about our daily lives. We don't know how God will choose to use us in someone's life. It may not be so dramatic as giving flowers to wrapped in scripture, but did you know that you could give someone a birthday card, a greeting card, a thank you card, congratulations card, and have a Bible placed somewhere around the world? Check with me afterwards, and I'll give you an easy way to spread God's word without ever leaving your easy chair. How about in Italy, where Gideon was distributing Bibles at a high school up in a rugged hill country, in a quaint, picturesque village? Can you picture that? It was their second day and had visited the school the day before, but one more class to give Bibles to. "Grazie, grazie, mi ha salvato la vita." And the guys, they didn't understand what he was saying. The headmaster explained, "This man has been here all day waiting for you. He would not leave until he met the men who saved his life." Confused, they listened intently as the headmaster explained that he was at the bottom of the hill, getting ready to jump to his death. He had no reason to live anymore. And he asked for a sign to stop him from jumping. You guessed it. There at his feet lands a Gideon Bible. Apparently, one of the children had flung his Bible down the side of the hill at the exact time the man was getting ready to jump. The Gideon's International is a result of a meeting between two men who wished to band commercial travelers together for evangelism. What began in 1908 as an association of Christian businessmen placing Bibles in hotels has evolved through an expanding mission to provide scriptures to all people in nearly every facet of life. Today, we have taken over 2 billion scriptures in more than 95 languages in 200 countries, territories, and possessions across the globe. But we don't have to travel that far. Right here at Western Michigan University this past year, John told me we distributed 3,000 Bibles to the students and the people that were on campus. Over at KVCC, we distributed over 600. I was making a presentation to a fifth grade class at a local Christian school, and I was sharing with them what we do and why we do it. I had given each child a New Testament of their own and explained how not only could they, by signing the front of the book, make it theirs to keep, but by signing the back of it and giving their hearts to the author of the book, they could belong to that guy. Before I left that class, one little girl got up and out of her seat. She said, Mr. Pena, I signed the back of the book. See, we exist as an advocate for the lost, to bring them the saving knowledge of Jesus through the word, not only placing and distributing scriptures, but also through personal witnessing and by associating together for service. As a united force for the gospel, we remain rooted in tradition, but we operate under the firm belief that anyone can be a valuable asset in this invaluable cause. We provide many opportunities for you to partner with us through either prayer or financial support. Every dollar, 10, 20, goes directly to Bible printing and distribution. You might be interested in knowing that it costs us about a dollar and a quarter to print one of these. Or, if you've been in a hotel lately, it costs $5 to print one of those in the hotel. Today, I'm blessed to share with you that there's a person in your church that will match your donations up to a case of Bibles. What a blessing it would be to have over 200 Bibles placed right out of Oakwood. Those of you who have your phones out, use your calculator and find out how many Bibles are spread annually using this bit of information. There are at least 2 Gideon Bibles placed every second of every minute of every day somewhere around the world. How many is that? Who's got their calculator out? It's 63 million Bibles every day, or every year, excuse me. It's an incredible number, don't you think? Join us, and let's spread the good news. But most importantly, sign the back of your book. Thank you. And with that, Bill, I'm done, and you are welcome to come on up and take the stage.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, brother. I don't know about you, but whenever I go into a hotel, I always look for that Bible. You do that too? Yeah. It's been a privilege of OBC over the course of years to have an involvement with this wonderful ministry that God is allowing to disseminate his word. So let me offer a word of prayer, and then we'll look to take that very helpful offering, which you'll help us out by making that check out to the Gideons directly. So thank you very much. Let's pray. Father, we do praise you for your word, and we do praise you for the encouragement that we receive from it. And not just encouragement, but salvation is in your word. We're so grateful for the Father sending his Son, and that Jesus was obedient to the Father, to the cross, and that God raised him from the dead. And from that, we can be saved. We just give you the thanks, and we give you all the glory. Thank you for Juan and Cindy. We pray that you would bless them as they serve you in this awesome ministry. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.